You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live,
The Beat. Featuring the week's roundup and commentary on music news.
Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live,
The Beat.
Yo, what up, guys? It's your boy DJ Jesse Janity here in studio with our very special guest, Sir Marcus Polk.
Hey, yo.
What up, Marcus? Thank you for joining us. Y'all might have seen him on some of your favorite TV shows, some of your favorite movies, but today we're talking full music.
Oh, yeah, man. We got this music coming, man.
Yes, we have a single, Time Is Money.
Yeah, My Time Is Money. It's coming out very soon. Yeah.
And we'll get to that in just a second, but let's introduce Sean Allen.
What's up?
All right, Sean. Lots of stuff's been going on. I'm trying to keep Sean on track here because he keeps looking at these Big Sean wig pictures.
Shit is funny as fuck. I'm going to tweet it.
These viral campaigns. Yes. All right. So speaking of Twitter, some stuff's been going on Twitter that I don't even know if I want to talk about it. Well, Chris Brown found out. Congratulations. Chris Brown found out he's a father. I think congratulations.
You are the daddy.
You are the daddy.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Says who?
The tests results have come back.
Oh, wow.
TMZ is reporting that he is officially the father. There was blood tests done and whatnot. And after, this is all allegedly. Allegedly, because let's not, we don't know who you, Chris Brown's fan, was watching last week.
Right.
Like, allegedly, there was a blood test taken. Everything's allegedly. Like, everyone's reporting. I think it was the Hollywood Reporter saying that Chris Brown has been waiting to reveal this secret. He had a specific way he wanted to go about doing it. Then people are saying he's completely shocked by it. So until he really makes a statement, we ain't going to really know. But Carucci made a statement on Twitter talking about, I just can't. I'm done with this. No baby mama drama for
me. She's a liar. They'll be shopping for booties next week. Baby booties. She's going to be an amazing stepmother. She needs to embrace it, and, you know, and it's good for her body because she doesn't have to get pregnant, so she can continue her modeling career, hopefully become an actress.
So make out with me in a movie, you know?
Right, you know.
Put your microphone closer.
Oh yeah.
So there you go. You know, Carucci has made this comment. Lil Duval commented, "Bitch, you ain't going nowhere."
Karate ain't going nowhere.
You know, I don't want to, like, it's weird to kind of talk about this because it's like, I'm just at a place where I'm like, I really don't care.
Yeah.
And only that, but then I think about this girl who came out and says she's the baby. Like, first of all, Carucci, you've been stamped as the official side chick.
Y'all been hanging out together, though. Like, they're in pictures kicking it.
Yeah.
Like,
then that's like the
you
real
know what's popping off
situation.
At Chris' house. I mean, come on, man.
We had this whole conversation last night about threesomes and what Carucci would be doing. Like, if you're in the relationship, you know what I mean? Like, if you have your girl Carucci and she's publicly known, like, are you fucking this other bitch? Is you just fucking Carucci? Like, and the other bitch is doing, like, sucking on some nipple or something.
A little bit of nipple.
You know what I mean? Like,
it happens. Mix it up.
Well, Carucci, one day you must not have been there.
Uh-oh.
Well, so, Chris, hopefully you take care of the situation in a positive way. I want Chris to be in the news for something really good and positive. Right. It's just always.
I mean, they're never going to really put that in the news.
I know.
Every time you do something positive, I mean, it doesn't really make the
that news. Is true. But like his response, like he responds to these things negatively, so he's just further creating the climate that the media have of him. You know what I'm saying? So
it is what it is.
You know.
Well. Speaking of,
he's a R&B gangster, guys. What do you expect? Come on,
baby daddy.
He's a new Ray J.
What?
Never.
So Keisha Cole versus Bobby Gibson. They've been on Instagram.
It's tacky. I don't like it when people do like personal shit online. Like,
I love Keisha.
I love Keisha.
I like it because she's real. You know what I'm saying? She's from California, but that was like the. Airing your family's dirty laundry on Instagram and Twitter is not the move.
So Bobby didn't show up to the baby's birthday, and she like went on Twitter or Instagram.
She ran it. Girls do that.
Like, here's my thing.
It's all bad.
You don't want, in media interviews, you are specifically asked you know, reporters to say, don't bring up anything about our relationship. Your entire show is called All In, or what is it?
All In, I think.
Something along the lines of, like, going all in with love. So it's like, you don't want us to talk about this. But then here my other thing, what we kind of were, I kind of brought up before the show, with the Big Sean thing, with this, with the Chris Brown. I almost wonder how sick some people are to use some of this negativity and put it out there to make themselves bigger. Because right now, her show is about love and marriage. Do I personally care about Keisha Cole and her husband? Jesse Jenny does not.
Nope.
But now that it's on a reality TV show and I'm seeing some stuff on there, I'm like, oh, wait, now they're on Instagram.
You gotta have some type of comment on it, right? You gotta be like,
you know, like, now I'm a little curious, like, what did Bobby do? But then I saw Bobby's response and I felt like, Booby, excuse me.
His name Booby?
Is it?
They call him Booby.
Well, I'm gonna call him Bobby because that's weird. So he responded back to Keisha and not knowing the full situation, not knowing either of them personally. I think Bobby came at it with a very, on a better level than Keisha did. He didn't seem like he was really trying to call her out. He was trying to prove his point, like, don't call me a bad father. You know, I do A, B, C, and D. Which, who knows if he really does that.
They're doing all this on Instagram.
Huh?
They're doing all this on Instagram and
Twitter. No, it's fucking weird.
Yeah, that's like, that's not cool.
Could be for show.
It could be for the show, too. I don't think Keisha's that type of girl, though. But when you're desperate...
Well, I mean, how are the ratings of the show doing? Because that's a check. I mean, if the show ratings aren't doing too well, you're going to say one or two things. I mean,
well, it's only been second episode,
but
yeah, that's the best time to do it.
I watch the show because of all that shit. So
yeah, makes sense.
Yeah,
but and I don't.
You don't see Keisha doing that? You say?
I don't think she, I've always thought she was Keisha. She keeps it real. She keeps it too real. If there's a such thing.
She do keep it pretty real.
You know, but. I don't know. I just don't like seeing that. That's a family. And that's a child. You know what I'm saying? You're slandering your son's father.
That's never good.
And even he brought out that she might be doing it for ratings.
Now, if no kids were involved, it'll be a free for all. But this is your son's father. You know what I'm saying? And that's not cool. Like, have some, not even class, just like... That's just not cool.
I just don't see how you make a conscious decision to blast it on Twitter. Right. Or if that's like not what you're
intention
is.
But that takes time, too.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You're kind of focusing. You know what you're doing. You know who you are. You know that everybody's going to see it.
Well, for you, I mean, you've been in this game for so long before social media, like, really hit hard in the entertainment
before
business.
Before social media, period.
Real, yeah.
You know, when people actually respected
had to have talent
the celebrity.
Yeah, and real, you had to be a real celebrity.
You had to be a real actor.
It was real celebrities. It was, you know, it was a different time, a little bit.
Yeah, so, like, as you're...
Because, I mean, they're making anybody a famous person nowadays.
You fucking...
Guy, and you know, it's just come on. How many slower people do you guys have to keep putting on? I just don't understand.
Dude, honestly, can we? I'm just gonna say this, whatever. But like,
we make dummy stars,
dude. I really think JJ Icefish is about to be the next Drake. Like, the rate that we're going with some of these rappers coming on here, like, we're building it up for this man to be like, yeah, he's been in the game,
he's the legend.
It's
bad, yeah. I mean, it is what it is. You gotta go with the times, you know what I mean? I mean, I stick to. Wanted to let my work speak for itself,
right.
And hopefully that you know, everything comes full circle and it gets back to the, you know, quality product, quality artists, quality, you know, stuff that people
and I think that's happening.
Love, you know,
I kind of see that, especially in television. You know, we know you from television and other projects after, but I like Scandal, Empire, they're putting money back into these shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You watch Empire, these are all real actors and actresses, not no Instagram. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know these names on...
It's not reality TV.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, same thing with Scandal and Black-ish and all these other shows. You know, these are real actors and actresses. So these roles are not given to reality stars. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Real actors are...
But it's also because Hollywood, a lot of film stars have to go to TV because that's where the money is right now as far as getting a lot of stuff.
True.
Well, TV's always been pretty much where the money is, unless you're, you know, a top movie actor, you know what I mean? Right. I mean, of course, you get a nice check if you do a good film, you're a lead.
Right.
You know.
Those residual checks.
There's nothing like TV. They say, TV makes you rich, movies make you famous, and theater makes you good.
Boom.
You know what I mean? So,
Well, for you, so, I mean, you've been in the game for a while, and
I've got to do a little bit of everything.
You know, you started really young.
Yeah.
So you kind of been in the cool trend of, you know, growing up and kind of adapting to social media. So for you to experience, you know, the 90s and that celebrityism versus today, where did you kind of like, as far as following the trend through your eyes, like be like, oh, this Twitter thing's
well,
cool?
I
like,
never let really me kind of. Dove into it, like, I guess the same way. I mean, me, I never got into the business for the fame or the money. You know what I mean? I got right. into it for the love of the art and the craft. Now I'm older, of course. It's focusing on, you know, like handling the business side right. of everything and understanding the best way to move. I mean, I've learned from the best. So I've gotten to be able to be comfortable where I'm at also because I've done things that before it even that curve came, it was already, you know, etched in stone, like mm-hmm. where I had a hit show for 6 years that was syndicated, which is like as an actor is like the most that you can ask for. But then I've been able to continue and cross over into films and, you know, before I was doing commercials and all types of stuff. So I've done a lot of the levels of the game. So I really don't chase after, you know, what's really trending. I just kind of go with let the work kind of speak for itself and just keep striding. And, you know, it's adapting. You know what I mean? There's more and more people that are paying attention to you and you're making certain moves, and then your Twitter is going up and your account is going up. But to me, it doesn't really make or break my career. So,
do you ever feel like at times you want to pull a Chris Brown and be like, I just need to vent my life out? And you know what? They think this is happening. No, this is what's really happening.
Shoot, sometimes I just want to take a naked picture, you know, post it on the internet.
Send it to Media Takeout.
Yeah, get a million views. You know, we can do it. You know, it could happen.
But, Photoshop some wigs on you.
Yeah, I mean, there's anything you can do for attention, you know what I mean? But my life is pretty realistic. Stuff happens to me and it gets attention. It's basic shit, but, you know, they blow it out of proportion. It is what it is.
So, speaking of the 90s, Wu-Tang's been in the news lately.
Wu-Tang.
They got this.
That's my boy. That's my boy, man. So I kept him on Red Tails, basically. Like, talked to him every day because he was going through some stuff, man. He was like, man, I might get out of here. I was like, man, if you don't stay and finish this film. So we literally were, like, chilling, like, every day.
So you were his rock.
That's my boy, man. Yeah.
Well, he might need you right now because.
Oh, man, what's going on?
So the new album, Once Upon a Time in Shaolin. Well, unfortunately, if you guys were excited for this to come out, guys, it ain't.
It's not happening?
It ain't coming out. For another 88 years.
That's crazy.
So apparently there's a copyright issue. I totally skipped the Azalea Banks, so we'll get back to that, Alexis. There's a copyright clause in the conditions of the sale, and basically it will hold this album from being released until 2103.
Wow.
88 years from now.
Who signed that contract?
That's what I'm saying. RZA writes, RZA writes, when you're buying a painting or a sculpture, you're buying that piece rather than the right to replicate it. Owning a Picasso doesn't mean you can sell prints or reproductions, but that you're the sole owner of a unique original, and that's what this album will do. It's a unique original rather than a master copy of an album. But there's a loophole. The owner of the album could just as easily take the record on tour or place it in a central location for people to visit and hear. The record will be sold online by auction house Paddle 8. It has previously been reported that the band has already received an offer for $5 million. So there's one album. They can't distribute it until 88 years from now. But if this guy who owns the rights to this album puts it someplace, you know, it could almost be legendary. It could be in a museum or people could go and listen to the album. Or
wow.
Really deep shit right there.
But yeah, I mean, Wu-Tang is legendary. They're next level. So I guess that's how they're making the turn right there with that type of epic move right there.
I mean, and you're guaranteed. I mean, we may not be here in the next 25 years, but in 88 years, people are going to know who we are.
They're going to know who Wu-Tang is, yeah.
I think it's dope. And the packaging's so dope.
Yeah, they're next level, man.
They got a little stamp, Wu-Tang stamp.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was out in Europe with them and with Meth, and we were driving around Meth wasn't with me, but they were driving around, taking us to some location, and it was like the Wu-Tang logo, like in the dust on a window, like, and I was like, wow, it's crazy. Wow. And then just going through and looking at some footage, and Meth was just showing me some behind the scenes stuff and different stuff of him, like walking on crowds, and he's just so epic, man. And it was just cool having talks with him. He's like one of the realest cats you ever met. Like, he's literally somebody who will, like, tell you some shit, and you'd be like, dude, you shouldn't have told me that. Like, he's that real. You know what I mean? Like, you could have kept that one to yourself, but. He's hella cool, man.
I mean, it was a movement. I remember being in school carving the W on tables.
Yeah, man.
Every notebook I had was www.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was part of my childhood. So
big time.
I could spend 20 minutes on that.
Well, so we've been talking a lot about Twitter. Azealia Banks, who.
Annoying.
Who's been running all her money.
Oh, is that her?
This is Azealia Banks.
Oh, I don't even know who that is.
Well, she would be very upset with
I'm
you.
I'm sorry.
She's really giving up Twitter.
Who is she?
For Lent. So she sings that song, 212.
No, he doesn't know who she is.
All right. So she's an artist. She's an artist. She's a dope artist. Her music is very kind of influenced by 90s freestyle music.
Okay.
Dope lyricist. Very creative visually. And someone I would love for her to just step back and let the art speak for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, she has a lot of inner issues and wanting to voice them. And she does this on Twitter by bashing other artists. Instead of kind of trying to find a medium to have conversation, she attacks people. Iggy Azalea being the number one. So Iggy Azalea got off Twitter, and here Azealia Banks is following. She's giving it up for Lent for 40
Iggy
days.
Iggy jumped off?
Iggy jumped off because everyone was coming at her with
They've
this race stuff.
Huh?
And so she's just probably like, look, I didn't move to America to be talking about racism and all this stuff. Yeah. Well, girl, then you should have researched America a little bit better.
Hood. You're not from the hood.
Right.
They're on her right now.
You can't rap like that.
Yeah, they don't want to hear it. I love her voice, though. She has a great voice.
She does have a very good studio voice.
She sounds like E-40.
She does.
E-40. E-40.
So, Azealia Banks is off Twitter, and as she's off Twitter, she's not off Instagram, because she posted a picture talking about that Pharrell basically starting a little controversy about the likening that Pharrell Williams to Little Black Sambo.
What?
Little Black Sambo.
I know who that is.
Yeah. And so that was her last
Pharrell?
Yeah. And so that was her last reference on there, obviously referencing that Pharrell. I'm assuming, girl, you have no respect for Pharrell or what? Like, I just don't understand why you would do. These are the things that she does that it just gets under
Iggy?
My skin. No, this is Azealia Banks, this girl. Like, you're fighting for, you know,
attention.
Oh, that was rude.
Well, yeah. Not only that, but you're fighting for your rights and black rights and all this stuff, and then here you are slamming another artist.
Yeah,
like she say some real shit, like on like an hour early, some real, real like deep stuff talking about race relations in this country. But then an hour later, she was slander some the stupidest
comment.
Shit.
Yeah.
And then so no one cares about the cool things she said.
Right, you know what I'm saying? And she do it all the time. And it's just like it's annoying. So.
Wow.
So she's off, and good, because that means we're off talking about her for a while.
Right.
Moving on from that, Tinashe came out with a new video, Bated Breath. Did y'all check this out? Have you seen this?
I didn't get to watch the whole thing.
Let's take a look.
Dope.
It is dope. It's like 8 minutes long, though.
Would it still hurt you? Would you still feel the said it's impossible. It's so impossible. But you're still waiting on the moment. Breath is bated. I wish I could hold you. I can't take it. Tell you all my secrets. I'm too faded. Praying that tomorrow I'll be brave.
Dope, it's shot in the Mojave Desert, and she actually directed it herself.
We can fall into it, love it like the rain, it falls much faster, living in a piece of it.
Very sexy.
Cool sound.
Very hot.
Yeah.
That sounds like her mixtape. Like, I like how she, same thing kind of I said about Jordan Sparks. You didn't take away the element that people
fell
met you off
it.
Of. Yeah, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So that's pretty dope that she kind of still incorporates her mixtape sounds with that, you know, non-traditional R&B music, you know, then she has two on, you know what I'm saying? So it's dope. It's dope. I like her. She's creative, you know, and I like that she knows the direction in which she want to go, and she knows how to play the game at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
So, I mean, for her to have directed that, she clearly has an understanding of what she wants to be.
And this is her first album, like her first, you know what I'm saying? That's a big deal for somebody to get that much creative control on their first project. So that's pretty dope.
Marcus, what are your thoughts on Tinashe, the R&B game right now?
The R&B game is wide open. I mean, you can kind of hit them with a little bit of anything right now. I think people are thirsting for good music, period. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of compliments on when people hear my music is that I'm kind of going with the old feel. I mean, the old feel of music is where I think we're missing out on a little bit more.
When would you say that music kind of died out? What year?
2004?
I always say that. Yeah. I always say that. Right at the time when music became like digital, like was transitioning from regular, you know what I'm saying? Speedy. The internet killed like music. It really did.
Yeah, it became speedy and, you know, real. Everything's moving so fast, you know what I mean? I mean, people don't fall in love with the artist anymore. They fall in love with a single, and then the artist can make up whatever type of lifestyle or whatever they want, and then people just kind of go with it. But we're not in love with that character or that person that they were even when rap was WWE, you know what I mean? And it was these entities, you know what I mean? And these iconic entities, you know?
Way to...
And great stories, you know what I mean? And now we're lacking a lot of stories. We're lacking a lot of realness, and these artists, they're like very confusing because they're confused themselves. So we're seeing all these artists that are just like whatever, you know. So I'm trying to get back to it being the core of what we fell in love with. I mean, I grew up around the scene, like really being around these artists and these people and living it. So like when I rap and what I'm talking about is really being around that atmosphere and traveling and everything. I mean, the top to the bottom is what I've seen. So I talk about a little bit of everything I get deeper on some songs, but sometimes it's just about the fun and having a good time also, you know what I mean? Just bringing that good feel back to music. It's not so serious and everybody's so tough guy these days. I mean, especially as an L.A. artist, you know, coming out of L.A., everybody's on this gangster rap music, and half of them are gangsters. They're nothing close to it, you know what I mean?
But
I
it looks
see
cool.
Cats face to face, but it looks great, you know what I mean? Throwing up these gang signs looks cool, you know? They don't even know what half of them mean, but it is what it is, you know? I mean, I know it personally, you know? I could face to face with any of these cats and stand there and go verbal with them, you know what I mean? Because I know what's up, you know what I mean? I've been in the game 24 years already, you know? And they cross paths, you know, because I grew up, well, I was with a music artist, you know what I mean, on a music show. So we were involved in a lot of the music lane. So I've seen a lot of different things and met a lot of different people. And I mean, it's taking a curve for, I think, the worst at the moment, but it's coming back around. Everything, you know, goes in the circles.
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing R&B getting its second shot.
R&B's doing better. And then even some of the hip-hop artists, you know, we have some quality hip-hop artists. We got Kendrick. We got J. Cole. We got certain people that are still keeping the torch going, I think, for good music and having a little bit quality projects. Like you guys were saying, Big Sean. I enjoy Big Sean's album. It's well-rounded. A couple different people, you know, got really good stuff. I mean, Drake's a cool cat, but, you know, I mean, I look at the whole picture, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, well, I want to get into that. Talk to me about Drake, because we had this conversation last week where Chris Brown references that he gives people, makes people in this industry bigger when he speaks about them. And clearly, one of them he was referencing is Drake. For me personally, when I think of Drake, I do not think of beef. Like, I don't know. Like, when I think of Drake or why I like Drake, it has nothing to do with Chris Brown. It has nothing to do with Rihanna. I fuck with Drake because I fuck with the
musicality of
the artistry of what he delivers.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your take on that?
I mean, that's what I would say because, I mean, his persona, as far as who he really is, I'm not
we don't
engage
know.
With. You know what I mean? There's, I don't know, whatever. But his music is amazing. And a lot of artists, you know, that have good music, but who they are as a, you know, total. That's why Chris Brown is so over the amazing, because he's a performer, one. Performance is what we lost in a lot of great artists. The performance that he provides to you, you know what I mean? He's the whole package far as that artist that you want to see. His personal life, whatever ups and downs we live, everybody goes through stuff. When you experience this lifestyle, you're going to go through shit either way, whether you're doing anything or not, because you got all these people around you, you got everybody, you got opportunists, you got everything around you, so that comes into play no matter what. You know what I mean? No matter how good a person is, goody-two-shoe, whatever, you're going to have stuff thrown in. It's going to look like curveballs, and then when the media gets a hold of it, it goes to out of proportion. So I say for people that are watching, you know, don't listen to everything that you say on these people and don't judge them off that. Enjoy their music, their personal lives. If people got out of these people's personal lives, I think we can get back to even enjoying a lot more of what's really going on and listening to the music and all that, because I think all the extra elements kind of, you know, throw wrenches in take what's away. Really going on and take away. I mean, but I do like knowing a little bit more about some of these artists, because, I mean, it helps me make a conscious decision on who I want to really listen to, if people are making conscious decisions on what they're really listening to, you know, and what they're putting into their brain and who they like and what they're doing and what these people's personal lifestyle is compared to what they're really talking about.
But it's almost a double-edged sword, because when you think of, like, Keisha Cole became huge. I mean, yes, she's very talented, but she became big like Mary J. because it was about
her life.
Yeah, she was singing to you these struggles. Mm-hmm. But now, in 2015, we're in this place where they put the struggle on reality television, and oh my God, now I feel like I know Keisha better. I feel like I'm more connected with her. Mm-hmm. So now she releases this album, kind of like Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj releases this album after this big breakup. We feel like I can relate to Nicki. Every song on that album is like, if you broke up with somebody, then this album gonna be your anthem.
Yeah, and they do that all the time, of course.
But is that really the better thing? Is it really to put your stuff out there? Like, does it really work in favor for you in the end? Like, you can, obviously,
there's
they're making money off
really
of it.
Really kill for, I mean, like, Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
Lauryn Hill it worked for, you know what I mean? But she already had so many Grammys before on her first album when she wasn't going through that same struggle. But it was a struggle, a well-rounded struggle, though, and not just in a moment. You know what I mean? When you heard Lauryn Hill's first album, that was like a story time of what she was going through. It was up and down, a roller coaster. Not just like, oh, I went through this, and I'm dissing this guy, and this is what, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I think we're just losing the quality of everything.
Well, all right. So this next artist I want you to take a look at, his name is J Doe.
I know Jay.
The song is called I Don't Fuck With You. I don't give a fuck about you. Nothing. Excuse me. Because he has it spelled I-O-N, which I can't stand that people are saying.
When they do that stuff.
I don't. And this is actually directed by Busta Rhymes.
Bus.
And let's take a look. This is I'm fucking bummed.
Yeah.
I love this song.
Yeah.
The conglomerate.
Why dream?
It's spelled terribly.
Alright. Listen, yo, get the fuck off my nerve. I only give a fuck about two things. For everything else, I swear. Bitches, y'all sweat me with all these questions. I let my lab bitch for the same shit. I would have thought that you learned your lesson. All damn.
Exactly.
If you ever owe me, boy, I need my job. Yeah. So D rates is different when your fees on low. Know the game, well, I got my research on. Nigga, where the money? Bitches, we fucking? Well, shut up.
J-Doe, I don't give a fuck about none.
And that's him, how he got the little everybody rapping his shit. That's right? I like that.
Busta Rhymes did that.
Yeah, plus all the relationships.
Yeah, because I was like, these people don't
nobody know Doe like that. Right, yeah, right, Doe, right. Doe the homie though. He be around though. He be in L.A. Hollywood on scene. He be making little hits. He be doing shit.
Song, I like that. That song's dope. I could cool see that guy. One going pretty viral.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Mark.
That was why
they did
you know,
that.
Busta Rhymes that Coco song. Kind of the video is kind of
that vibe.
Yeah,
yeah.
Trying to pretend it's viral, but it's not because nobody's ever heard the song. But you know,
it's gonna happen.
I'm down for it. I'm down for it. I'm the J-Do.
Yeah, he's cool. It's a dope song, though.
Yeah, he's solid.
Marcus, let's talk about you.
Yeah.
Acting, film, where did music come in for you?
Well, music was really my first love. It's crazy because, you know, I started out at 4 years old dancing on Venice Beach. Yeah. You know what I mean? 4 years old dancing on Venice Beach, doing Michael Jackson, MC Hammer. I used to watch them, you know, coming up. And that was my first love, was their music and their entertainment. Stature, you know what I mean? How amazing these guys were and captivating. Michael Jackson, MC Hammer were. There was a couple of actors, but that kind of came a little bit after. But music was my first love. My dad, he sang a little bit. He was in a group. They actually won Star Search, like the whole championship. So I came up around music, you know, grew up around it. But right at four, you know, then I got an agent because one of the ladies that worked at Big Daddy's Pizza on Venice Beach, her parents were in the casting, told my mom, like, oh, you need to get him into acting. He's amazing. My mom's like, you want to do it? I'm like, heck yeah. You know, and went straight forward. I guess, you know, the way my mind worked at that time as a youngster, I was always a little bit ahead. So, you know, I got it and went straight to it and loved it. But so music kind of just came full circle now. I mean, I've always been around it after that, you know, 4 years later, booking Moesha, mm-hmm. being with Brandy and everybody, right. You know what I mean? And getting to meet Pac and, you know, being in the same place, House of Blues with Biggie Smalls when I'm like, you know, 11 years old, dope, you know what I mean? Type 12 years old, you know, on the same red carpet as Eminem, you know what I mean? And going on his tour bus and meeting all these people. And they, like, the way that, like, Proof saw me when I was, Eminem was on his first year of his first tour. And we were in San Antonio. And Proof hopped off stage. I'm backstage because I went to do the radio station. And I was like, oh, man, M's performing. I love his stuff. Can I get some tickets? They're like, yeah, we got you. Backstage passes. You good. Go up there. Thanks for the interview. I'm like, cool. So, bam, I'm there. Proof hops off stage. He see me. He's like, oh, shit. Yo, Miles, this is crazy. He's like, look, I got to introduce you to M. I'm like, yeah, man, I love his stuff, man. Y'all are dope. Bam, he takes me on a tour bus. Like, you know what I mean? Those type of interactions with those great, like, you know, legendary people. And then, like, Martin Lawrence, when they were doing the Blue Streak video, Jay-Z had the song, Come Here, Baby. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And they were shooting that on the same lot as Moesha. So I went to go see Martin. Martin, like, oh, let me introduce you to Jay. And, oh, you know, wow, bam, I get to go meet Jay. Bam, I meet Jay. So every time Jay see me, he, like, show me mad love. You know what I mean? Like, those type of interactions with those legendary people always just made me feel like I was a part of hip-hop, you know what I mean? I mean, from DMX taking me on set, like, I hop in the car with DMX when he came and did a on-scene joint, and he's like, man, we're about to go get some chicken wings. I'm like, Mom, I'm about to go with DMX real quick. Riding with DMX was the worst decision in my life. I could ever. And we're downtown LA where it's a bunch of one-ways. He's driving all crazy. You know what I mean? It's just those type of crazy experiences. Wow. It's like, man, I'm a part of hip-hop, you know what I mean? And it's a part of my lifestyle.
I mean, even Moesha, we had Fredro Starr on
there.
Yeah,
Fredro, I grew up with Fred, you know what I mean? He's a hip-hop legend, you know what I mean? He's still touring, you know, to this day of Slam, you know what
Onyx.
I mean? Onyx, you know what
him
I mean?
Sticky.
Shout out, yeah, Sticky. That's my boy. So
you've had a lot of time and a lot of experience to really kind of figure out, you know, who you are as an artist and what you want to deliver.
Definitely. Because, I mean, I've been in the studio since I was, like, 14, like, really right after Moesha, right when Moesha was in it, and I was getting into the studio more and more and really getting in there. You know, my mom was letting me more free and go to the studio and do my thing, and they would pick me up. I'd go do my thing. So I learned. I really took the time. You know, I could have jumped in the game probably and had a deal already. I've been doing different lanes, but it was important to me as a you know, I see myself as a complete artist, you know, in a lot of different lanes, but to be complete and somewhat of a master at that craft before I just dived into it. Because there's a lot of mistakes that you can make once you're switching lanes, you know what I mean? And I just wanted to be able to give the people what they want to hear and not, you know, just throw anything out there just for either the money or just the attention or whatever it is.
So where are you at right now mentally?
Now I'm ready, man. I'm full steam ahead. I mean, you could put me on a mic and stage with anybody. I know I could rock with some of the best.
So is there a certain type of sound that you want to deliver? Is there a certain type of message that you want to deliver?
There's a feeling and a vibe that I really want to bring to the game. I feel like as an L.A. artist, I'm bringing what not a lot of L.A. artists are able to bring. I think Kendrick maybe is the closest one who's probably close to what I'm doing with bridging the gap of just not just being gangster rap, but being a hip-hop movement and good music. Kendrick probably is the only one who's coming close to touching what I'm trying to do out here. You know, everything else is ratchet and
turn up
and gangster. So I'm trying to just bring a wholeness, you know, a little bit of everything.
Intellectual hip-hop.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the biggest thing. I think people are like, when you rap, you're so clever, you know what I mean? And I come from that world of comedy and timing and saying clever things, and you know, so that comes easy to me. And that's like, I started out battling.
Could you give us some bars? Could we go into something right now?
I mean, it's nothing. What are you saying? Me, I'm not playing. I'm not bluffing. I really be running up. What we got in there? Nothing. We tuck it. We stuff it. What you mean? If they play with me, I call the team up. They really start dumping. I hate to get into drama, hitting them with the llama. Forget the violence. I'd rather be getting back rubs somewhere on the island. Styling, wilding. You know me. Peasy, the same kid from the TV. But right now, I'm in 3D. BHL, okay, oh well, we about to do it with Prevail. It's easy to me.
Hey.
Just play it around, you know what I mean?
So now, all right, so we have Time is Money.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about this song.
My Time is Money just kind of came about. The producer, Dale, did it. We came together and got in the studio, and we were just kind of having a conversation about how we really have no time to waste, you know what I mean? But time really doesn't exist, and at the same time, every time we move, we're trying to get money. You know what
time
I mean?
Time really doesn't exist.
It really doesn't. I mean, it's kind of something that was created. I mean, I'm timeless. You know what I mean? That's what I feel like. But at the same time, every time I show up, I'm looking to collect money. You know what I mean? it has to make sense. You know what I mean? If it don't make dollars, it doesn't make sense, they say.
Right.
You know?
So, all right, let's take a listen. This is Time is Money, and the single will be out
About around May.
Around May. So y'all, here y'all go. You got an exclusive right here.
My time is money, and my time is money, and my time is money. My time is money, and my time is money, and my time is money. You see how I spend it, you know how I get it, you getting some from me. Yeah, my time is money, yeah, my time is money, yeah, my time is money.
Money all up on my mind, I'm synchronizing dollar signs. Watch you almost out of time, cause I've been clocking round a watch. Say I'm presidential, cause the rotation ain't never stop. Same buzz that Obama got, one button in the bomb drop. Wow, open the drawer, now empty your pockets, man, what is you talking about? Wow, I ain't small time, I go for the safe, man, what is you all about? No front, no front, no faking out. Probably that's what we making now. The ladies you dating and taking out, they twerking for me and they break it down.
My time is money, and my time is money, and my time is money. My time is money, and my time is money, and my time is money. You see how I spend it, you know how I get it, you getting some from me? Yeah, my time is money, yeah, my time is money, yeah, my time is money.
Stack for the future, now I'm back from the future. Skating like Marty on his hoverboard, don't let me lose you. Feeling brand new, leader of the new school. On the road with the rats, but they got class too. 100 road for the walkthrough, if it ain't about a bag, I don't talk to. Man, the boy get hot back off of him. It's work when I speak, so I do something. Watch how they pendulum, my watch is digital, now they all into all my money infinite.
Marcus Polk, Time is Money.
That was dope.
Man, that was dope.
You know hip hop, leaders of the new school.
Yeah,
that was
man.
Dope. That was that reference that we just got finished talking about Busta Rhymes.
Word up.
Not too many people know that.
Yeah, man. I'm in tune, man. I try to learn a little something new every day. I don't know everything about everything, but I know enough, and I don't know nothing.
And you know, the interesting part about that is listening to it, you can hear elements of inspiration. Like there were a couple moments in there where I was like, oh, this brings me a little actually to Onyx.
Where?
This actually brings me a little to, you know, so it's like for you, but within all that, it has its own sound.
Word. Thank you.
And it has the turn up, but then I'm also listening at for the lyrics, because a lot of the times these songs come out and I'm not listening at
You're
the
like,
lyrics
what
at all.
Did he
you
just
listen to
say?
The beat and the chorus. I don't know what he says, but I know it'd be like,
he has a little vibe to it, yeah.
And it's and I'll be like, yeah, that's my shit.
Yeah.
Well, what the fuck are they talking about?
And that's you know? What I've been getting a lot of compliments on, is people saying like it has all those elements that you want to hear in the music. You want to hear that vibe of the turn up, and you want to hear, but you want to hear clarity in what somebody's saying and have it make sense. You know what
right,
I mean? And,
right.
And I'm pretty good at putting together a nice little picture and painting. You know, that's what I try to do, just make movies with the music. So that way when I start shooting these videos and everything, which is coming soon, that everything just kind of falls into place.
And that beat was,
an
awesome beat
Slather,
to choose.
Right? Thank you.
Because it kept me the whole time. I was just bouncing back and forth, but I'm listening, and it has an element of the Beyonce Nicki Minaj Flawless.
Oh, that's what's up.
Bing.
Word.
I don't know, like I was just hearing that and I was like, that's everything right there.
Word.
But then it has this hypeness to it.
Yeah.
And then your flow on it was really consistent. Like
I didn't
hear the flawless part, but I thought, you know, the production and the vocal arrangement, it was perfect.
You know,
the production sometimes drowns out the actual artist on the song.
Word.
You know what I'm saying? So that was, you know, it was a marriage. It
balanced.
Was dope.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
it was balanced.
You.
Well balanced.
Thank you.
So, when are we going to get an album? Or are we going to get a mixtape,
I'm
an
looking
EP?
To drop things ASAP. The movie with Amber Rose is coming out.
Sister Code.
Yeah, I haven't got to talk about that yet. Sister Code, that's coming out in May. I'm actually playing a rapper named Lil Danger in that. And
okay.
It's crazy because when I got the script, actually, one of the producers ran into me at After Hours. We're out. We're just having fun. You know, I see him a lot. He does some different things, and he's at the Zen Lounge doing a lot of different management, working with Dwayne Martin and stuff. So he's like, man, I have this amazing script. There's this rapper role, man. Because he actually heard me rapping outside. He was with Dwayne Martin outside at some hot dog stand in Hollywood. And they were, like, out there talking. And cats were chit-chatting. They were, like, rapping, playing around. And I walk up, and they, like, see me, whatever. They say, what's up? And I just started rapping. But I literally was rapping for, like, 10 minutes.
Oh,
so,
shit.
Like, after that, he was, like, every time you see me, he's, like, 1,000 bars. 1,000 bars is what he was saying. Every time he introduced me, he's, like, man, he has 1,000. Have you heard him rap? Tripping. So he's, like, man, I got this script. You got to play this rapper named Lil Danger. Boom. He's like, I'm gonna send it to you. Just read it. So bam, he sends it to me. I read through like half of it. I'm loving the script. So I hit him back like, oh man, I love the script. Let me know what's up. I get no response. I'm like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? He just told me to hit him up about this project. He got me all excited. I don't hear anything for like a couple weeks. Then my agent gets a call to come in for a film. She sends me the script. It's the same script. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh,
everything's coming full circle. So, bam, I go over the lines. I go off for the audition. He's in the room. You know, it's a bunch of people that I actually kind of know already, you know, because I, you know, being in this game 24 years, I know most of the casting
yeah.
people, a lot of producers, writers. So it's a good relationship. And I nailed the audition, and now I was playing this character, Little Danger, and I got to be across from the lovely Amber Rose. A lot of beautifulness happening in this movie.
Yeah, Eva Marcella.
Yeah, Eva. She's amazing. You know, she's pure in the face. And Drew Sidor, I love her. That's my buddy. Yeah. She's right. Gorgeous ladies, and great to work with all of them. Amber was a charm and a lovely chick to work with. She was really humble and very cool. Surprisingly cool. You know what I mean?
Right.
We just had a blast, and she, you know, told me I made her feel comfortable on set because it was her first film. You know what I mean? So we really were working off and playing off each other. We had a fun old ball, man. So I have a song in that movie as the character Little Danger. So I sold a song in that film. That's the second time I've done
so
that.
So we'll hear that out in May?
Yeah, so that will be in that, and I'll probably be performing that along with some of my music. And you know, it's coming along nicely.
All right, now I see why you said a couple more months. We're going
to
wait
for
that. We're
going to
wait for the Big Bang, the machine.
I wanted to drop some music before. When I was doing Red Tails, I had some music ready a couple years back, but I was I really wanted everything that, you know, makes sense, because timing is everything. Even
right. I appreciate.
You know, and because, you know, I was going to the White House with that film. You know, they played it at the White House 3 times. Oprah had a screening. Like, it was just a different wave, you know. So I just let that live. And, you know, now I get to reintroduce myself somewhat.
And then you have 90 minutes of
Fever. Yeah, that joint I just did with Glenn Plummer. That's a dope joint. It's kind of like a thriller. It's got the vibe of kind of like, let's see. It's about a end of the world kind of scare, martial law kind of come in effect type of situation.
Oh, yeah.
What you would do with your family. You guys stuck in the house, kind of crazy thing. Kind of like a Purge vibe, but not Purge. It's got a little, it's a different twist on it, so it's pretty cool.
So so we have a lot of projects coming out from you. So you're going to be very busy this year.
Working, man. I got products coming, different things I'm invested into, man. I'm just trying to take that step and become one of those moguls that I'm supposed to be in this game. You know, this is all about Black Hollywood Live. I mean, I'm a big chunk in there. I got a nice little piece in there. And, you know, I've worked with a lot of legends, you know, and they all tell me the same thing. Like, just keep doing what you're doing. You're on your way. And I'm just starting to just continue to, you know, do good things, bring positivity. You know, I want to definitely do some big things in the community and just everywhere around the world, really. You know what I mean? Just help people that are in need of, you know, help and inspiration, you know. Because if I can't physically help somebody or give somebody something, I just hope that whenever I'm on TV or whatever I'm doing can, you know, brighten up their day. And I've had a couple people that I ran into, cats that heard my story. It's a cat that danced right now. He was dancing on Venice Beach. He was like, man, I heard about your story. And he had met me in Chicago when I was in Chicago shooting Roll Bounce. And he was like, man, I heard about you dancing. Now I'm out here dancing. Then he moved from Chicago, came to L.A., and then he was dancing at Venice Beach like how I was doing back when I was 4 or 5 years old, just off of what he heard about me doing, getting his money. And it's like, it's cool to hear those type of things and just be that type of inspiration and, you know, have the longevity in the game. You know, that's a blessing because it's hard to have that longevity, you know, and still do quality work, you know. Right. So that's what I'm
And you look on. Like you're ready and hungry for it.
Yeah, man, I'm more than hungry, you know what I mean?
Positive and productive hip-hop. That's what I want, about. Ladies and gentlemen. Well, Marcus, thank you for coming through today. Sir. What's your Twitter handle? Where can everyone keep
Marcus
up with
Paulk,
you?
Marcus Paulk, MarcusPaulk. That's my Instagram and my Twitter, man. Get at me. You can catch me on Facebook, whatever. Just holler at me.
Make sure you guys follow him and keep in contact so that way you guys can check out Time is Money when it's released. Sean, where can everyone follow you?
Sean Allen Live everywhere.
And you guys can also hit us up at BHL Online on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Hit us up at The Beat TV on Instagram. You guys can tweet me at DJ Jesse J. Till next week, same time, same place. Peace.
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.